when I go back and look at pictures of, especially at, you know, from 18 months old until probably like 4 years old, until I had my big aha where I was like, oh my God, I'm judging the crap out of my child. But like, because I thought he was broken, when you go back and look at those pictures, there are so much joy in those pictures. But because I had that mindset, I don't think I appreciated all the joy that was happening around me. And I was so focused on fixing.
How is it possible for a parent of a child with autism to become the superhero their child needs now? I'm Len.
And I'm Cass. When our son was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism, we went all in. We spent over a decade learning everything we could on how we could transform to help our son thrive. And guess what? He's doing it. This year, he ran for class president.
Each week on this podcast, we will be sharing the secrets needed for you to become the superhero your child needs.
If you want to learn how to tap into your innate superpowers to help your child thrive, visit AutismParentingSecrets.com.
Hello and welcome to Autism Parenting Secrets. Today's episode is about revealing that even if your child has a diagnosis, that doesn't define them. Judging them as not enough just doesn't help. The secret is your child's not broken.
No way, your child is definitely not broken, and it's impossible to help someone if you're not accepting them as they are. And I love it because when I listen to Brené Brown, she does an amazing job about kind of acknowledging reality, because truly that's where the power comes from. So if you're judging your child or if you're feeling that they're broken, you are never going to be in that place to truly help them and support them as they need to be supported. The thing is, they're not broken, they're just different, and they need to be supported differently.
Absolutely. And they will feel it too. They will feel that judgment.
Absolutely. Our kids are like the most energetic beings in this whole entire world. I mean, hell, my son can like read someone from like a mile away, and he's kind of that moth to the light, and they know what those light people are. So you need to be that authentic self to truly show up and support your child, right? And you can't give the diagnosis the power. You know, the diagnosis in itself, it can be so traumatizing for people. And you give that the power that that's going to define your child. And that is the identity that they need to stick with. But no way. Like, that just happens to be a snapshot in time. But that doesn't deserve the power.
It's so true. And on top of that, it is information. It's a data point. It's a label. And we're not suggesting that you ignore it and put your head in the sand. It's useful to know. But again, it's just one piece of data. It doesn't define, it doesn't limit, it doesn't do anything. And so in many cases, people give the diagnosis so much power and control, and it just simply is information. And it doesn't in any way say anything about who your child is at that moment and who they're going to be. Again, we're not talking about putting your head in the sand. It's not being overly influenced and even overwhelmed by some label that somebody is giving.
Right. And our son was diagnosed at 18 months old, like, right? So when I listen to experts tell me that my son was, you know, his life was going to be limited and his future was limited and we should only focus on life skills, I'm like, how could that be for this 18-month-old, right? Like, setting that limits on him at that time were just, it felt so wrong to just put him in a box, you know? And basically, instead, we wanted to use that box to lift him up and connect with him in a way that he needed to be connected so he felt secure, he felt safe, he felt loved. And that was truly what was so powerful to do. And that's what I, you know, when I read Facebook groups about people who are like, oh, I'm sorry, your son has a diagnosis, there's really nothing you can do. It's like, damn straight. There are things that you can do. And hey, your child might not progress as other people's child might progress. But you know what? Movement forward is movement forward, you know? And that's what, there's so much power there.
No, without a doubt. And again, this is something that we think is so important. I know some people are probably listening saying, well, what do you mean that my son or my child, my daughter's not broken? Clearly, the idea that broken is a judgment. It's deciding that something is not enough, it's not okay as it is right there, you know, at that moment. And we're not in any way implying that autism is okay or that diagnosis is something that you want. The point is, you can still want something different for your child without the judgment in the moment that there's something wrong with your child, they're not okay as they are. Because bottom line is that they are who they are at that moment for a lot of reasons, some of which you may understand, others that you don't. And so it's not about them being broken or not broken. It's they are what they are. And you can still really want something different and put your energies into something that's going to help them without the judgment piece of it. And that's what we're really just really wanting to try to convey. And we're going to dedicate this whole episode to it because it's a slight shift in how you're looking at it, but it's game changing in terms of how you feel as well as what your child's receiving from you.
Right. And that's like when Rye was diagnosed, right? We had those RDA, which stood for Rye Defeats Autism cards made up that you took to the first conference with you because, hey, we were going to defeat this. But, you know, truly the epiphany came when we realized that, you know what, autism was a part of him. And if we were defeating autism, we were defeating our child instead of loving and supporting and understanding that our child didn't have autism to bug us, right? It was like, it wasn't there to torture us. It was just part of him and part of what he was exhibiting at that point in his life.
Yep. And early on, I mean, we did. We put a lot of time and effort into doing what we could to change things. And early on, we absolutely were seeing him as broken. And I know I was dedicated to the idea that I'm not going to quit until this autism thing is gone. I didn't want it. And it was something I did totally view as bad had to go. And it took us a while, which is why we're trying to convey this, is that I wish I could have whispered to myself back then to just let it go. It's just a label. Don't get so crazy focused on it. Still work with you, Cass, and let's mount a response that's going to help him and to help him feel better, to be more connected, all those things. You know, still do all that, but not from a place of he's broken and we're not going to be okay with him until he's fixed. That just felt so pressured for me. And it felt like I felt just a lot of angst, a lot of pressure. And I wish I didn't have that early on because I think it would have helped me to have just been more relaxed, to have connected more with Rye early on rather than kind of just looking at him as something to be fixed and really not being present and just being with him, which is probably what he needed most from me at that moment.
Well, and it's funny and sad all at the same time. When I go back and look at pictures of, especially at, you know, from 18 months old until probably like 4 years old until I had my big aha where I was like, oh my God, I'm judging the crap out of my child. But like, because I thought he was broken. When you go back and look at those pictures, there are so much joy in those pictures. But because I had that mindset, I don't think I appreciated all the joy that was happening around me. And I was so focused on fixing, you know? And so that's where I wish I had those to be able to go back in time to actually just enjoy the ride more and enjoy this journey, because there were so many moments I probably could have been breathing a little bit deeper, standing a little bit taller, laughing a little bit louder, instead of just being this mom on a mission.
I hear what you're saying, and I have to kind of internalize it where I'm like, there is no way I was savoring anything after we got that diagnosis. I truly wasn't. It was all about fixing and doing it quick. You know, and again, I just know how I felt, how weighted down I felt, and it just wasn't necessary. So that's what we really are trying to convey, is that it's a shift. It doesn't mean that you are accepting anything. It just means that you truly, in that moment, know in your heart that your child is where they are at that moment, and adding the judgment that they're not enough or they're broken, it just simply doesn't help you to do what you want to do for them and to be how you want to be with them. At least that's how I felt with, right. with myself.
And I think the biggest mindset shift, if just to kind of give a little clue here, is from when you go to, instead of fixing, just supporting and loving. And that was truly the game changer. And it's amazing to think about the progress that he made when we stopped trying to fix him, when we just started truly to support and love him unconditionally, because that was truly the game changer.
And you might be thinking that if you did that, that then you're not doing everything you can, or that you're letting your guard down, or that in some way you're saying, okay, well, I can't change things. And we're not in any way saying any of that. It's just that with that shift comes more space for you to think more clearly, to figure out what's going to help, to see more options. And again, perhaps it allows you just to be with your family, with your child, with your other children, if you have them. Because that's really important too. It's like, how, not just how are you responding to the autism diagnosis, but how are you being with your family?
Right. And if you think about it, if we want to break it down into five steps, because I know that's, you know, something that we like to do with each episode, because we want to make this bite size for you and we want to make this actionable. So thinking about step number one, understand that judging your child as broken weakens your ability to help. So as you were saying, instead of becoming, you know, weakening yourself, we're trying to help you become more of that, take a more powerful stance.
Yeah, it clouds your judgment. You see less. So it definitely does. You think it might help because you're like, okay, I got to fix this and it's, you're going to bring my best self to it. But it actually does the opposite. It does weaken your ability to help if you have that charge of judging. So that's step number one. You know, step number two would be just to know that your child can sense your level of acceptance. And we're very fortunate that our son remembers everything, even from the time that he had no words. He amazes us with what he remembers, what we said to him, things that were happening. And so they do, they're taking it all in. And we truly believe that. At least we know that was the case for our son. And the sense, like what they're feeling, like of how we're being, absolutely our son could sense how much we were with him and how much we were trying to change him or go against what he was doing. And he had a lot of behaviors. And I think as we mentioned a few episodes ago, you know, he liked to spin things a lot. That was one of the things he did, whether it was objects or himself. And he would run around in circles. That was like one of the main symptoms amongst many, but that one was something that you know, we weren't okay with it.
We weren't okay with it because everyone told us he shouldn't do that.
True.
You know what I mean? So if you think about it from that one, but it's so true. And then also know that other people's judgment of your child doesn't define your child, right? It does what they're saying about your child or what they're saying your child's future will be like, you don't have to listen. You get to choose who you listen to and who you don't listen to.
And those judgments from other people have everything to do about them. It has nothing to do about your child. So just to truly know that gives you a little bit more armor or Teflon just to let things bounce off. Your child's different. There's no question about it. And what other people think just truly doesn't matter. And you allowing it to influence what you're doing or how you're wanting to show up, again, doesn't serve your child at all. So that's the third item. Number four is just that to trust that every child does have opportunities to grow. Yours may be on the spectrum, but everyone's child has their own unique strengths and opportunities for growth. No one, absolutely no one is normal. I mean, everyone's, you know, we feel like everyone's kind of on the spectrum in some way, shape, or form. Everyone's unique and different. You know, so the whole idea of comparing our son to someone else's, which we did, at least I did a lot early on, it doesn't help. The comparison only brings misery. It only brings, you know, a feeling of lacking, of not being enough, of not being like other people. So to really try to resist that temptation to compare, and you may have heard this before, and I'm sure we're not the first one saying it, but that truly does open up so many more possibilities.
The last step is really, truly, your child needs support that's right for them. There is no one size fits all. And just remember that.
And as you're going through and getting your arms around and trying to get your nervous system in a better place, you know, there's definitely going to be conflicts and things that are going to be bumpy, you know? So the whole idea of what are you looking for? Like, everyone's got radar and what they're tuned into. And especially if you're feeling, you know, that people are judging you, you may be looking for evidence that proves that your child might be broken or isn't enough, you know, and other people will definitely generously point out what they see is not right with your child. So the idea of, you know, just falling into the trap of looking for evidence that your child's broken absolutely doesn't help.
Right. Absolutely. It doesn't help them at all. Right. And also you'll have moments like accepting only the good parts of your child and finding just the good. Guess what? Your child's a whole being. You don't just love parts of them. You have to love them as a whole. And those are the other, you know, some parts need more attention than others.
Yep. I remember at one point I had a discussion early on where I made the statement that I love my son, except I hate the autism, which was probably one of the most asinine things I've ever said, right? Because that was his diagnosis. That was a part of him.
Right.
So I definitely thought it was okay to like the good parts and to reject the other parts, but that doesn't work.
Nope, because the autism's part of your child. We said it before. It's like you're hating part of them.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it, but that basically equates to I was rejecting him, and which was the last thing I wanted to do, for sure. Another idea is, like, you know, you can definitely find that, at least I found that I would get into raising my voice and using anger, you know, to kind of get the results I was looking for. So, like, you know, that doing that and kind of getting angry was going to help me in some way. It was going to help me to get my son not to spin himself or objects, or not to exhibit, you know, echolalia and repeating things over and over, and the obsessive compulsive type habits that he had. You know, so the whole idea of it's kind of like a conflict within myself that getting angry was going to help. Well, there was no way I never saw any evidence that that helped my son reduce any of the things that I didn't want. And it definitely didn't help draw him closer to me, which ultimately was what I really wanted. So again, that's something that we definitely ran into, and just knowing that that doesn't help is really important.
Right. And I thought we could now talk about some of the things like what winning would look like, right? So it's like you will be more connected to your child when you stop thinking they're broken, right? Because they're going to sense that energy from you. And that is so, so important.
And it might be, it just makes sense to pause here just to really reflect on that statement, right? Autism's a lot of things, but the desire to be connected with your child, at least for me, was hidden initially, but that is the whole thing. So by really realizing that you'll increase your connection by dropping that judgment is really worth truly considering.
Right. And the cool thing about that is you're not going to be analyzing every single thing your child does. When you have your firstborn be the child who has a diagnosis, it's like, holy crap, you overanalyze everything when you're like, oh my God, that's just what a kid does. And I've been judging my child for it.
On top of that, just in terms of making more powerful decisions, you know, for what's best for your child while you're loving and connecting and delighting in being with them, right? So regardless of what they're exhibiting behavior-wise, the whole idea of just not losing sight over being with them. And like, so if you're only in problem-solving mode and you're constantly spending all your mental and physical energy on trying to fix them, if you're missing that connecting piece of it, it's just such a lost opportunity. And those special moments that you can have in the moment, you don't get a second chance at those. Like, so the idea of capitalizing as much as possible on the presencing with your child is extremely powerful.
And the cool thing is then also you're just going to feel so much more at peace and kind of in flow.
Which is the exact opposite of how I felt probably for the first many months, maybe in the first couple of years. I never really truly felt at peace, although that was such my goal. And by dropping this one judgment earlier, you can, will allow you to feel more in peace.
So this is something that most of our clients come to us with, right? That they have a feeling that their child is broken and that they need to fix their child. And if you have the ability to kind of look at your child differently and realize that they're not broken, that they are different, that they are unique, and that they just need to be supported in a different way. And odds are absolutely a different way than how you were raised. I remember when our son was diagnosed, 2 weeks before our daughter was born. And I remember talking to a family member and saying, oh my God, how am I going to do this with my son and my daughter? And just the juggling of motherhood. And I remember they said to me like, well, you know, tell your son it's now time to be a big boy. And I was like, what? How is that going to be possible? You know, so it's kind of like the whole thing. You just got to embrace it. You've got to love it. You know, your child needs that love and support and that nurturing that they're always going to be able to do. They're not broken. And just to kind of breathe more and to really know that when you're in flow more and when you're accepting more, that's when that magic happens, because your child is going to sense that from you. They are going to just be able to, you're going to be more connected of just the moment instead of the judgment. And that is such a game changer. And so for our clients who've been able to embrace that, it's been so rewarding for everyone. Their child, you know, one client right now, her son is talking so much more than he ever was, and he's so much more socially engaged. And a lot of that goes back to this work, because if you can make this switch from a mindset from, you know, broken to kind of just in flow, it's a game changer.
Right. They are what they are. And it's also, it's not a switch to flip, right? So it would be great if we all could. And we're hoping that this episode helps to shine the light on the opportunity, but it's something that just awareness of it's the first step, and then it can change. And we've seen it with our clients, how they can shift this pretty rapidly, but it usually doesn't happen just, you know, like with a snap of the fingers.
Yeah, but with repetition, it can come more and more. So I do say one thing to do, which helped me a lot, go back and look at those old pictures and find those glimmers and find all of that hope, because that is something so powerful to do. So that would be a great action to take away today. And I know we have two other actions that we want to share with you, but just kind of go back and look at those moments that you think were really hard. And if you have photos of them, like just find that glimmer of positivity in each of those.
So in terms of how can you put this into action and just start moving on this front, the whole idea of if you're seeing behaviors in your child that you absolutely are not wanting, that you want to decrease, to go away, you know, the whole thing is right now your child's doing what they're doing. And by the way, they're doing it for some reason, right? There's some way that they're coping. They're doing the best they can. And the idea that they're doing something, or maybe they're not exhibiting a behavior that you want, the power of the word yet, right? Just add yet onto any observation that you're making.
So it's like, I remember talking to a client and she was saying, you know, my child's not talking. I'm like, your child's not talking yet. You know, so that power of that yet piece of what you want for them, instead of saying they're not doing it, but they're not doing it yet, or you're not seeing the behavior decrease yet, but you will. Because if you have that positive intent of what the future will bring, it will just help you get there with ease.
Right. And on top of that, also just drop the benchmarks. Like what, if your child's not talking and they should have been talking at X number of months, it's like, just, hey, not talking yet. Those are just guidelines. And we were so obsessed with hitting every milestone, et cetera. Just back up. Just know it's happening now for some reason. And it's right now, you know, in your heart that he or she's not doing what you want yet.
Right. Well, I also love what, just talking about the, you know, not talking as the example. Come on, always remember that Einstein didn't talk till he was 4. So I just, you know, you have a genius in training.
And that brings up another just point, which is when we talk about the idea that your child isn't broken, autism diagnosis isn't something that's a bad thing, or that it makes sense for you to judge as bad, or that your child has some part, or that they're broken in some way. You know, think about all the people who are, you know, famous leaders, scientists, you know, great figures in history who we know have been on the spectrum or were on the spectrum. So just take someone like Steve Jobs as an example. You know, is it that Steve Jobs being on the autism spectrum, Asperger's, something of that nature, is it that he's broken, unless he makes it big and then all of a sudden he's not broken anymore, you know, like these, and you mentioned Einstein, and it's not a trivial comparison. It's like, there's a lot of people who are different, who are on, were on the spectrum their entire lives. And, you know, just because they had success in some way, does that mean that all of a sudden now it's, there's some test that, okay, now they're no longer broken. And it's the same for your child. They are different. They happen to have a diagnosis that they're on the spectrum. There's some behaviors that they're exhibiting or some milestones they haven't met. But again, the power of yet, that they haven't achieved something, there's always that possibility that they will, at some point in the future, could be very soon, that they will meet it. Maybe they didn't meet on a certain timetable, but that they will meet it.
And I think the just another action that you can do today is comparing your child only to themselves, right? Benchmark versus themselves. Don't benchmark versus your neighbor's kids, your sister's kids, or whatever. Benchmark for, hey, you know what? My child was here on this day, is now here today. Because that way you're comparing them versus themselves versus comparing them to others, because they are their own unique being. And so do not set them up for failure. You know, set them up for success by knowing where they started to now where they are.
Yeah. Comparisons to others just doesn't help. And yes, compare your child of today to yesterday, but then don't freak out if today they're a little bit, you know, worse than yesterday, because it is a lot of ups and
downs.
Three
steps forward, two steps back, whatever it is.
It's all about what's that trajectory and wanting improvement, whatever it is that you're wanting for your child, having them move in a direction that you're wanting. And again, only comparing them to themselves. And with that, hopefully this gives you a few practical ways to bring this powerful concept into your life. Because again, this only helps how you're feeling, how connected you can be with your child, and they'll feel that as well. There's only upside and honestly, no downside from reevaluating that view that your child's broken, and to just move with more acceptance and love and more excitement about what's possible.
Right. And I guess the only last thing is make sure that you just surround them with people who lift them up, right? Who lift them up and who lift you up, and who also believe that your child's not broken, because you just need that positivity surrounding all of you.
We are so rooting for you all. And again, hopefully this is something that you can start looking at in a different way now, and only to your child's benefit and to your benefit. And it's our pleasure to be able to reach out and to share some of this information. And if you want to actually learn more about what it's like to be with a community of fellow all-in autism parents,
please check us out. We're at autismparentingsecrets.com. We would love for you to join us. We're super excited about bringing like-minded parents together so we can support each other, cheer each other on, because you don't have to do this alone.
Support is the key. And we are so excited to be able to be part of a community that supports each other and, again, just lifts everyone up.
Absolutely. We look forward to connecting with you next time. Super excited.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to Autism Parenting Secrets.
If you're not already subscribed to this podcast, be sure to do that right now. And if you could, please rate and review this podcast. This will help other parents find us and benefit as well. And feel free to let us know what you'd like to hear in future episodes.
Also, head over to autismparentingsecrets.com and take our free assessment to discover your top superpowers today. Until next time, don't forget, you are the superhero your child needs now.